I have what I consider a little bit of a different type of message, maybe a little bit unusual for you. It is for me, but anybody in here play baseball in their past? Yeah, all right, baseball or softball, either one. Yeah, I knew Denton did, Jeff did, yeah, I think Keith did. Oh, yeah, all right. Excellent. Well, many of us did. Jim did. Yeah, all right. There's several of us. Well, listen, I wanted to start with this baseball story because, well, you'll see why. Bill, did you play baseball? Oh, you should have. No. Greg, did you play baseball? Yeah, okay. All right, so baseball. When Jill and I and our two boys, Isaac and McCoby, we worked at a little church in Stratford, Oklahoma, peach capital of the nation, or at least of Oklahoma. And we loved it down there. A lot of good people, and baseball is king in those little towns, right? Didn't those little country towns in the southern half of Oklahoma, I know for sure, baseball is, it's year-round. They say there's a baseball season, but they figured out a way to play it year-round with camps and schools and extra season. It's all kinds of, but it's all the time. But anyway, the thing is, that one thing that we learned, we really got into baseball. We went to all kinds of baseball games. The boys loved it. They were in high school at the time, and I realized that there's a lingo, almost like a baseball accent, that people adopt when they walk into a baseball park. Do you already know what I'm talking about? There's like a sound that you make, like an accent that they have. And you can't understand the words that they're saying, but you know that they're good and positive, right? You know that they're encouraging words, even though you have no idea what they're saying. As a matter of fact, because I see some of you going, that's exactly right. I have no idea what they're saying, but it makes me feel good. We realized, me and the boys started joking. We had this game. We'd go to a baseball game, and we realized that you could string any combination of words together in a baseball accent and end it with a nah, and it sounded awesome. And people wouldn't laugh and be like, yeah, thank you, buddy. I appreciate that. Gotta hit you with my big toe now. Give me a bite of pizza now. You know, and I think, yeah, right? Anybody? Words of encouragement. We had one of the coaches there. He said, attabay. And I could not figure out is he really saying attabay? Like, didn't, is that a baseball thing, attabay? Huh. Attabay? See? I still don't know what he said. Attabay. It sounded like the coach said attabay all the time, so I started saying it too because it was kind of funny because I don't know for sure what it is. Is it like a baseball version of attaboy? Okay. Attabay. Well, I'll tell you what, this sermon today, I had another sermon ready, lined up, ready to go for most of the week and last week, and I felt like God wanted us to hear something today that was different. And he began to take me down this road, and I want to tell you, I believe with all my heart, God has a message for you today, and that's attabay. If we were in a baseball stadium, God would say attabay. Attaboy, good job. Way to go. You're not there yet. There's some things you need to work on, but you're doing good. Look at what's gone right. Look what you've done right so far. Good job. You see, the reason that this is so weird, I think, for a preacher to preach about is because our job is to disciple, is to challenge. Most of you will probably recognize the fact that at the end of every sermon that I do, and I write it down, what's my challenge statement? What do I want you to take home with you that will challenge you to be better, to maybe a bigger impact, to reach more people, to get closer to God, to pray more. You're right. You know, that's my job. I want to challenge you to, and I love a good challenge. There's nothing wrong with challenge. I respond well to challenge. As a musician, you have to push yourself and challenge yourself out of any hobby that you do if you want to be any good. You got to get that challenge. It's good for you. However, do you know what else I respond really well to? Encouraging words. Attabays. I respond well to that. If someone comes up and says, you know, good job on this or that or whatever, I'm like, oh, well, thank you. And it makes me want to do better. Maybe everybody's not like that, but I think that a lot of us in here probably are. We respond well to attabays. You see, because a lot of the reason that we're here is to build each other up, to build the church up, to grow ourselves. And building up is full of challenges, but it's also full of encouragement. Attabay. Good job. Okay, see, no one has left yet. Because I think, because even when we read the Bible, when you read the Bible, you usually are, your brain is kind of in tune with what can I do better? What do I need to do? What do I need to stop doing? And, you know, it's always this thing. And if we're not careful, here's what happens. If we're not careful, if we don't have a healthy balance of challenge and attabays from the Bible, from the pulpit, to each other, if we're not careful, we begin to see God and the Bible as these authoritative entities that's watching for you to mess up. Look at that. He's about to do it. I told you he was going to do it. Bam! Yeah, I told you. And he thumps you in the head. Gotcha. Right? And I think we have to be careful about that because that's not how God wants us to view him. God's not face palming you all day long. Like, oh, Jeremy, come on. Oh, face palm. Right? God is a loving God, and he wants to hear us. He wants us to hear him say today, attaboy, I'm proud of you. Good job. Yeah, there's things that we need to do better. But look where you are. You're in church today, if nothing else. Whatever you did yesterday, not yesterday. Look at where you are now. At least here. At least you're in church. At least you've sang a little bit of praise and worship. Even if you're watching online, maybe that is a huge first step for you. Look at you. You've gone this far. You don't stop. You continue on. But let God love you and appreciate you today with an attaboy. We actually find this many times in the Bible, and you may be surprised to see how much encouraging words, like personal attaboys, are in the Bible. Paul does it several times. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 1. Paul's talking to the church in Thessalonica. And again, when I begin to study this, I'm like, I didn't realize that that is such a characteristic of God and his spirit, because I read the Bible for the challenges. But sometimes I need to, just to get the character of God, look at his love and look at what he's saying and look at the words of encouragement that him and his servants and his people give to each other. He says this, we give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith. We think about your work of faith. We think about your labor of love. We think about your steadfastness of hope in the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of God our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you. I love those words. His choice of you. We're talking about your faith and your love for each other and your steadfastness. No wonder God chose you. That's good. Verse 6. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with joy. Even though you're going through some stuff in your life, you received the word with joy. Good on you, mate. So that you became an example to all the believers. Not only did you receive it, but you became an example for others in other places. In Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith toward God has gone forth. So that we have no need to say anything. Look at the impact you have made, is what Paul's saying. Good job. Attaboy. As a matter of fact, let me just paint a picture for you real quick of some of the encouraging words that Paul says to his churches when he writes them. Romans 1:8. I thank my God through Christ Jesus for you all, because your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world. Did you know that your faith is being proclaimed throughout the whole world? We have people in Ecuador, in India. KC just got back from India. We have people in Africa, a couple of different places in Africa. Your faith is being proclaimed. They've heard of Bethel Church Choctaw. Good job. Can you accept a good job from your pastor and from God today? Yeah, good. Yeah, do it. Give me a hand. That's okay. It's okay. Give yourself a hand. It's okay to do that. You need some encouragement every once in a while, right? In Philippians 2:12, he says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed," you guys have been obedient, "not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Colossians 1, 3 and 4, he says, "We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for you always, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints." That's amazing. You know that this church is a church of love. We love each other. We love you when you come in here. If this is your first time here, I'm guessing that you probably felt love. And I want that to be the case. You guys are great at that. What a great church we have. Very friendly church. Colossians, he writes this, "For even though I'm absent in the body, nevertheless I'm with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good discipline and the stability of your faith." 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 4, he says, "We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged." Wow, that's nice. I'd like for Paul to say that about me and you, right? "Your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each one of you toward one another grows even greater." I do see that in us, in this church. Our love is growing. We've challenged ourselves to love and to learn. We've challenged ourselves to grow and to go, and we started doing these things, these steps. And I can see the result in that, in this world, in this community. And then they begin to see the love of God through you, and then they begin to learn and grow and go. And then the cycle begins all over with other people. This week I heard about this ministry that's happening. People are volunteering at a place, and it was started by some people in our church, and now it's taken over. Other people are doing it. They don't even go to church here. Praise the Lord for that. That's impact. That's doubling your impact in this world. Hallelujah. He told Timothy in Philippians 2:22, he says, "Timothy has proved his worth." He said, "Epaphroditus risked his life for the work of Christ." In Philippians 4:14, he told the church, "You have done well to share with me in my affliction an acceptable sacrifice." So let's look. Maybe Jesus had some words of encouragement too. Personal words of encouragement. when he saw Nathanael coming, Jesus, one of the disciples, John 1:47, he says, "Now there is an Israelite that is honest as the day is long. He will not lie to you." Right? John 1:47. Exactly those words? Or pretty close. Matthew 18:8-10, when the centurion came to Jesus to heal his servant, Jesus finally looked at him and said, "I have not found faith this big anywhere in Israel." Good job. Matthew 15:28, to the Canaanite woman begged Jesus to heal her daughter. And the Lord gave tribute to this woman and said, "Woman, great is your faith." Atta-bay. When Mary of Bethany poured out the oil on Jesus' feet in Mark 14, Jesus says, "This woman has done a good deed for me." The parable that Jesus uses about the talents in Matthew 25 and the two servants that made a profit off of the talents that he gave him, both of those servants, those first two servants, he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Atta-bay." Even our Father God in the New Testament, within his own voice, proclaimed from the heavens in Matthew 3:17, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." God said, "That's my boy." Atta-bay. Go and hit some people now. Right? See, if we're not careful, we begin to see God as the punisher, just waiting for you to make it mess up. I don't want you to view God that like that today. God doesn't want you to view God him like that. God is a God of love. 1 John 4:8, God is love. John 3:17, Jesus came to the world not to condemn it, but to save it. As John read us that scripture a couple weeks ago. John 3:16 said, God loved the world so much that he paid the biggest price imaginable. John 10:10 says, Jesus came to the world so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. 1 John 4:13, God even gave us part of his Spirit that lives inside of us. God is a God of love. He's not trying to catch you to do stuff wrong. You're going to catch yourself doing wrong things. You don't need anybody to tell you what you're doing is messed up. Right? You know. God wants to say, "Listen, yeah, there's some things that we need to do better. Maybe you got some issues that you need to work out. Maybe you've got a habit that you're working on and you're trying to get rid of that habit, or you've got something in your life that you're kind of struggling with. But look at what's going right, and I want to say good job on that. Keep that up." This is the good part right here. Keep that up. Like he told Mary, Mary chose the good part. Sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to him. God is for you. God is on your side. God is fighting for you. Allow him to love you today in a special way. It's okay for God to say, "You're doing good. You got some stuff you need to work on, but this is good." Everybody in here, at the very least, you're in church, right? Good on you, mate. Look at the impact that we have had as a church. I talked about the missions that we have all over the world. We got a couple of missions trips planned in the near future. Me and Jason are going to go to Ecuador and just save the Amazon people. Or at least try to figure out how to be an impact. And we've got these ministries, the local ministries that we're doing. The Skating Rink, I mentioned a lot of them last week, a lot of local ministries. Look at the impact that you are making. You helped purchase a bus so that we could pick people up to go to the store or take youth to camp or whatever else we're going to use it for. I hope to start a bus ministry very soon, and we'll be bringing people into church. You helped that make it. Way to go. Atta bay. And not everything that we do is done here at the church. I talked to someone this week, and Jim was talking about how they helped a neighbor out, and he didn't have anybody to help him. Maybe you're just volunteering in your neighborhood. Maybe you're volunteering at your school. Good on you. That's good. Good job. It's okay to feel good about something that you've done. I don't think that you guys are going to say, oh, good, I've done something good. I can take the rest of the month off and just live in sin or do whatever I want to. I don't think that's going to happen. Right? So good job. Stop beating yourself up for not being as good as you thought you would be by now. Is anybody else guilty of that? Okay, thank you. Look how honest you are. Good job. Yeah, sometimes, you know, we have a tendency to beat ourselves up because at my age I thought I would be a lot better. But simply continue to grow. Don't beat yourself up over that. Don't let the enemy get you down on yourself because you've made mistakes. Philippians 3:12, Paul says something very similar to that. He says, I haven't already obtained it. I'm not perfect yet. But what I do is this. I press on. Because I want to lay hold of that for which Jesus laid hold of me. I want to fulfill my purpose, and nothing in my past is going to get in my way of my future, and I want to do what God's done for me. Look at where you're at. Go from there and say, thank you, Lord, for getting me this far. And don't doubt or get down on yourself when you go through hard times. Hard times are going to happen. John 16:33, Jesus tells his disciples, I tell you these things so that in me you'll have peace. In the world, yeah. It's a messed up world. You're going to have tribulation. But be of good cheer or be encouraged. I have overcome the world. We serve a God that is overcoming and has already overcome. Let's live in that. Not that we should turn a blind eye to everything, but don't dwell in the bathwater of this stinky world. Be of good cheer. Don't get hung up on the fact that I just referenced bathwater. I have no idea why that happened. I'm getting better. I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. But look how far I've come. Don't compare yourself to others. Attaboys are merited at various levels. Paul said to the Galatians in Galatians 6:4, but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. Don't compare to anybody. It doesn't work that way. Here's a good example. I mentioned the parable of the talents earlier. One guy... there's three all in all, but let's just focus on the two that actually got the attaboys. One of them started out with this many talents, and one of them started out with more. They both doubled. Of course, one of them profited way more than the other one did. They both received the same attaboys. Word for word, they received the same attaboys. Well done, good and faithful servant or slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Don't compare yourself with others. Teddy Roosevelt said, comparison is the thief of joy. The message is your God loves you. And your God is proud of you. Your pastor loves you. And your pastor is proud of you. I'm proud to see what this church has accomplished. I'm proud to look into the future and see what God is going to accomplish through us. Pride in a sinful way? I don't think so. I just feel blessed because it's not anything that I could have mustered up myself. You see, a lot of us say, well, I'm not worthy of an attaboy, or well, I don't want to get prideful. And the beauty of it is none of us are worthy of an attaboy from God. Nobody in here has ever been or will ever be worthy on your own. But now that you're a new creation and Christ is living on the inside of you, good job. Look what you've done. At least you've made the decision to partner with the Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you so you can now go and do great things at a bay. Right? So worth, feeling worthy, not a factor. Can you accept an attaboy from God today? Think about it. Can you accept it? Can you accept God's love in your life today? Because one of these days, if we continue on in our faith, we're going to hear those words for real from Him personally. Well done, good and faithful servant. Will you stand with me, please?